Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at the very last verse of this great epistle as the Apostle John warns us about the great danger of idolatry. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verse 21 again together. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Now, as I told you on the last broadcast, John was correct to warn us about the horror of idolatry and how the Bible links idolatry with another wicked sin called covetousness. And because covetousness and idolatry are such evil sins in God's eyes, it would behoove us to know just what these sins are so that we will not transgress against God. So what is idolatry? Why did John go out of his way to warn us to guard ourselves from this sin? According to the Holy Scriptures, idolatry is present any time we value anything or any person more or the same that we value the one true living God. An idol is anything or any person that takes center stage in our affections, our loves, and our desires. Now, what will help us to sort all of this out is to remember what the setting was when John wrote this letter. The Apostle John wrote this epistle sometime between A.D. 96 and A.D. 98. John was the last living apostle on the earth. Paul and Peter had both been killed, and the church was under very severe and very consistent persecution by a pagan Roman government that was hostile toward Christianity and by Jews who considered Christianity to be blasphemy. So the average believer of that day was under enormous pressure that at any moment he could be taken away and imprisoned, and his family would never see him again. And this was the normal way of life for believers of that day. It was not uncommon for a group of believers to gather together, and right in the middle of the church service, armed soldiers would storm into the building and ask who the pastor was. And when he would raise his hand, they would take him out in the front yard and kill him. And then they would go back in and ask who the elders were. And the elders would raise their hands, and they would all be taken out and killed. And then the soldiers would storm back in and ask who the deacons were. And the amazing part of all of this is that the elders and the pastors and the deacons would all willfully reveal who they were. Nobody was ashamed. Nobody was concerned about their own lives. Nobody tried to hide or run away. There was great boldness that the early church had. And when you read about this and then compare our generation to them, it makes you want to cry. Truly, we love this present world and we love ourselves a whole lot more than we love Jesus. And we need to repent of that, dear friends. But even though that was hard, the external persecution against the church by unbelievers was not the worst thing that the church fought. No, the leaders of the early church remembered that Jesus had promised them that they would be persecuted. And although today, preaching about the straight and narrow path and expecting believers to actually walk with God is considered to be mean-spirited and legalistic and even unchristian in some areas, the early church did not view persecution, even to the point of death, to be anything other than the normal response that the lost world would have to all of those who named the name of Jesus. But as bad as the external persecution was, surprisingly, that did not hinder the growth of the church. No, some of the greatest numbers of converts to Christianity occurred at the point of the hardest persecution. And that's because external persecution does not hinder souls from being saved. Preaching the straight and narrow path does not hinder souls from being saved. Teaching people that after salvation, Jesus expects them to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him daily, that does not hinder souls from being saved. No. What hinders lost people from coming to Jesus is the people in the church who make the claim that they are saved and yet do not serve Christ. And the lost world looks at these hypocrites and they are offended at people who say but don't do. People who lay claim to believing the Bible and yet not think enough about the Bible to obey it themselves. That is what hinders lost people from being saved. But what was worse than the external persecution was the fight that was going on inside the church over divine truth. You see, dear friends, the people of the early church were very sweet, innocent, and naive people who were so glad to be saved, so glad that Jesus had rescued them from the wrath of God. And they gathered together and they heard God's word preached and they sang about God's love and mercy through Jesus Christ, and they were so happy to be part of the church. They never dreamed that evil men would creep into the church to try to distort the truth. They never in a million years thought that anybody would want to try to tear up what was so beautiful. But evil men did creep in, and evil men began to teach false doctrine, and evil men began to insert heresy and wicked teachings to usurp divine revelation and to deceive God's people. And so the leaders of the church were forced to rise up and confront these evil men, and they had to expose their false teaching. They had to earnestly contend for the Christian faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, because if they didn't, biblical Christianity would be lost. And we can thank God today that the leaders of the early church, like Irenaeus and Tertullian and Athanasius and others, did their jobs. And they took their roles as shepherds seriously. And they stood against false teachers. They stood against men who, and they rejected their lies and they renounced their heresies and they rescued the church from evil, wicked deceivers. Now, I want to make myself perfectly clear about what I'm saying here. There is a mindset today in many areas of the modern church that battles over doctrine are inherently wrong, and that we really don't need doctrine at all anyway, because all we really need to do is love Jesus. And I don't believe that for a second. I believe that anything that is valuable is worth fighting for, and truth is worth fighting for. We got to remember, folks, the reason that this nation is at war against terror is because we value our way of life. And if our way of life is worth the struggle, then it really doesn't matter how long it takes, and it doesn't matter how much money it costs, and it doesn't matter how many lives will be lost, because to stop fighting is to guarantee that we will lose. So we will continue to fight as long as we value what we're fighting for. And that's the way it is with divine truth. God has spoken, and anytime someone wants to change what God said, or to twist what God said, or to warp what God said, they need to be confronted. They need to be exposed, and if they refuse to repent, they need to be shown the door. And that is because what God said is valuable. The true church of Jesus Christ does not allow false doctrine to be taught. The true church of Jesus does not allow men to come in to deceive the sheep. Part of the responsibility of leaders in the house of God is to guard the souls of the sheep and to make sure that all men hear the one true gospel so they may repent and be saved. And the gospel has already been established. It has been exhaled by the mouth of God. It has been articulated and set down in writing by holy men who were moved along by God the Holy Spirit. The gospel has already been defined, and it is what it is. And nobody has the right or the authority to monkey around with the only tool that God has provided to save lost souls, the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. But in spite of this, periodically some wayward souls will attempt to bring in false teaching. And for the first 1900 years of the church, those new teachings would be analyzed and held accountable to Scripture. And if they matched up with what God said in the Bible, then praise God, the church continued to teach them. But if in any way that new teaching contradicted what Scripture said, then that teaching was rejected. It was condemned. It was not allowed to be taught inside the Christian church, regardless of how popular that teaching might have been. But sadly, that's no longer the case. Today, many in the modern church accept whatever the dog drags in through the front door, especially if it sounds new and exciting. And many accept new teachings for no other reason other than they are new. And this happens because far too many people consider biblical Christianity to be stale and old and dry and boring and in desperate need of improvement. These so-called church growth gurus write their book, which teach that nobody wants to hear serious adult line upon line and precept upon precept preaching anymore. These Pied Pipers say that people of today are sophisticated and technically advanced, and so they have no desire to sit and to be taught about serious and eternal matters. No, they want to be entertained with lots of upbeat music, sound effects, smoke machines, and multicolored music, comedy acts and skits that make no demands on their lives. We are constantly told by people who say they know that people today cannot sit and listen to a deep, penetrating sermon that actually exposits the Word of God. No, they want some short sermonette which gives them tips on better living and how they can all live their best life now. Some religious groups have abandoned preaching and teaching altogether and no longer call people to flee from the wrath that is coming and to turn from their wicked ways to serve the living God. Prayer meetings where God's people can grab the horns of the altar and weep between the porch and the altar, and where they can cry out to God for strength to not love money and to be set free from idolatry and covetousness, and where they can gain the power to rejoice in suffering and to forgive those who have wronged them, are growing less and less prevalent in our day. More and more churches are dark and the doors are locked because everybody's home watching TV. Bible studies which confront our own hypocrisy, our own lukewarmness, our own shallowness are quickly going out of style as we see the rise of what are called life coaches and tips on how to make more money and how we can think and grow rich. But I am compelled by the gospel to tell you that these things are not signs of revival, dear friends. They are signs of a great falling away. They are signs that we love this present evil world more than we love God. They are signs that we really believe that God is more interested that we prosper here on this earth than he is that we become holy and prepared for the next life. So I say to you that now more than ever before, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And we need to examine what we are being taught to see if God actually spoke it in Scripture. We need to examine and see what we believe and that whether we believe glorifies God and not simply make us feel better. We need to find out if what we are being taught is really nothing more than an ancient heresy designed to glorify man. Now, if you realize that part of the responsibility of elders and pastors is to preserve the Christian faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, then you will see that all the debates about doctrine are not necessarily bad. Some are necessary to clearly weed out the false from the good so that the people of the church are hearing what came out of God's mouth and not what was invented by men. And as John began to write this letter, the Christian church had already been rocked by two major heresies, and a third one was gaining ground. Back in the Acts chapter 15, the first major heresy called legalism attacked the church through the false teaching of the Judaizers, which said that in order for a Gentile convert to become a good Christian, he had to first become a good Jew by keeping the Sabbath and keeping the dietary and ceremonial laws of Moses that were never supposed to be eternal, but were only for the Jews for a certain period of time. And you can read how the church stood against that false teaching, which ignored grace, by looking at Acts chapter 15 and by reading how carefully Paul taught against the heresy of legalism throughout the epistle to the Galatians. The second major heresy to attack the church was the false teaching of the Antinomians, who taught that because we are saved by grace, we have no further requirement to actually serve God after salvation. This is a heresy called lawlessness, and it abuses grace. And Paul taught against this heresy in Romans 6, and James taught against it in his epistle as well. But the third heresy was even more sinister than the other two. This was the heresy of Gnostic mysticism, and we find pieces of Gnosticism today in the Jehovah's Witness organization and in Mormon doctrines and or what are called New Age philosophies. And the Apostle John wrote this very epistle of 1 John to expose Gnosticism. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.